Blog Talk Radio.
Well, now, you know, it's been said that South Dallas has started to get rain on it. So they kind of sort of had to rename it Sunny South Dallas, but that was not South Dallas. You know, that was just the part that was usable at the time. That was the State Fair of Texas, y'all. And right now, what we are trying to work on is the entire southern sector, and actually South Dallas in particular right now, because it's been kind of unabortedly detained. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. So right now, I'm going to open with this, but we're going to end with something else.
I'm not.
Not a lot you can put upon it.
Well, I'm going to have to slow that one down, y'all. I'm going to have to slow that one down. I'm going to have to slow that one down. That's just too much at one time. That's just too much at one time. Slow down, LaShawn, slow down. What we're trying to do here, we're trying to get started on... You know, when you finally get all you want or you think what you want, and Lord have mercy, it's just like a kid in a candy store. But you, we got to get started somewhere, y'all. And what we trying to tell most people is we want this to be a swinging door, you know. We don't just want to open up our doors and let everybody come in. This ain't, we don't want to just import. We want to export. You know, you got to come to some kind of conclusion that your business, your profit margin and everything else is about to change. You know, you get everything coming in and nothing going out. You know what I'm saying? So we want some of our businesses to be actually utilized, you know, for the good of what they are. You know what I'm saying? Not for what they've been used for most of the times. You know, you got a restaurant, but it's also a car wash, you know, and all of that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? You got to have two or three different businesses in the same district, in the same area, per se, to be a success, to make it turn a profit. So, no, see, that's got to change. So, you know, those ain't just open one way. So, yeah, the doors are opening in South Dallas, but it's just that they like saloon doors, you know, they go both ways. So, Dallas Strong, this new effort to improve the southern sector of Dallas along with relationship building. Now, it's Dallas Strong, and I didn't put on here simply because I can't get any return calls from Grow 5 Dallas. And like I tell people all the time, and when they're in their little Cadbury seats and whatever else, trying to see things one way, Grow 5 Dallas, but you're not asking any 5 Dallas residents or any 5 Dallas people, what does that entail? You know, and just like I was just saying about, we got to have some saloon doors. You got to be open-minded enough that you got Grow 5 Dallas attempts, but you're not asking any of the residents, the business people, or nobody else about how to Grow 5 Dallas or whatever. You know, what is it, a secret takeover or something? You got hidden agendas? I've been asking. See, and I'm pretty sure you're going to find out pretty soon, I'm not the begging type. You know, we're gonna have to come to some kind of consideration of other people's time and patience and everything. Yeah, you know, it can only go so far. So I'm saying all of that to say, with all the rebuilding and stuff that we're trying to do with relationships and everything, it couldn't have come at a better time. See, now you can mix all of that up into one big pot, Mexican, brown, blacks, white, Asians, and everything else, like it was meant to be, supposedly. You know what I'm saying? You get everybody's attention. You get everybody's. You got a lot of businesses, and I tell you, from my start in the business world in 1986, when I started at the Dallas Weekly, I was actually gonna be there just a couple of weeks till I made enough money to get my pool games back up. But I got there, and you know, God throws you a few curveballs every now and then, because when he tries to make you wonder, am I going the right direction? Am I doing the right thing? And I happened to bump into this guy with his beard, almost as scraggly as mine, but real long, sandy blonde hair. And his name was John Fullenwider. Didn't know he was on such a mission when he met me, but he retrieved all my civic background and stuff. Just about from when I was a boy, he made it all come out of me because of the way he would start talking about how he wanted to change things. And I'll never forget, John and I would sit down sometimes and just talk. And then I'd go to his office on East Grand and we'd talk. And, you know, things like that. And things came on about the first credit union in South Dallas. It lasted a pretty good while. I got sick and they sold out. You know, that's what most businesses go in business for, is to be prosperous and profitable and move on, do something else. So that was John's intent, and he did it very well. And I get to see him on Facebook and stuff all the time, but I would definitely like to say to Mr. Pullenwider, you're doing a great job. You've done a great job. And, sir, if you just continue on, I would like to see you again. So, with that being said, I got a whole lot of rude awakenings while I was in my early stages at the Weekly because, again, my intent was to be there a very short period of time. I wasn't no salesman. I didn't know anything about the newspaper business. When they asked me, could I sell? And I discovered the other night I really didn't lie. So I almost stopped saying I lied. What I did was I kind of exaggerated. I said I could sell sand on the desert. But then the other night, after I was going through my, you know, you got to relax, relate, and release. As I was relating, I went back through that, and I said, well, shoot, if I look at the facts, I didn't lie. I just said I could sell sand on the desert. And had I been on the desert, had I been put out there by myself with nothing but the sand, I could sell sand on the desert. The passersby and whatever else, you know, I might have had to lie then sometimes, you know, tell them it was water added later. But, so anyhow, it was things like that, and also meeting in my very early Dart experiences. Yes, I'm coming, Dart. I just want y'all to know. But I met a young lady named Jimmy Saunders. Miss Jimmy Saunders opened my eyes to the work differences of the business end of Dart. And, you know, she said, well, Billy, right now, only advertising I handle here is the recruitment advertising. I didn't have very much work experience, so a lot of these names was like foreign languages to me. You know, a lot of the recruitment efforts and human resource activities. Yeah, you know, I hadn't been in corporate America or anything. Yeah, you know, the Walnut Room. with great people like Chicago Red and stuff. So, you know, what it is, I got to start meeting a different set of people, a whole different spectrum of individuals that might not been as familiar, but was pretty familiar with what things was really going on in Dallas world at that time. And which they told me, well, you know, just hang on. We trying to change some things. We trying to do some things. And so Mr. Jimmy Saunders was one of those that had the mindset, well, I might not can do that or do that. I might not even can be president, but there's some things that I can do here. And so, Dart, I applaud you all for hiring Miss Jimmy Saunders, because basically, in a sense, she hired me. I was going to leave the weekly and, you know, do something else. She'd go shoot some pool, get back on some of them trucks or something. But anyhow, she was a wonderful person, and I applaud her. So tonight's show, yeah, well, it's all about people like that. And I know I can't get to all of them tonight, but there's so many other people like Mary Bland, who was with the city of Dallas, and many, many, under many different hats in many different situations. She was over at the Martin Luther King Center 1 week, and the next week she was downtown Dallas, and, you know, stuff like that. They moved. At that time, they were moving around trying to find the excellence of each individual and the talent-laden areas that they could perform in, because they had so many wide-open positions and so many things were changing ever so fastly. And it was stuff like that that I got to meet. This whole crowd of female activists who had jobs within the city structure, the DISDs, the Dallas County, and, man, just so many other places, DCCD, just everywhere. And every week or so, they would meet up together in lunch situations or in power meeting situations and stuff. And it just so happened, I was answering the telephone at the weekly by this time, and yes, I caught on fast. And so I was answering the telephone, and Mr. Washington was kind of like paying me under the table almost, you know, giving me tips and stuff. And so, you know, the best days I had at the weekly was during that time, because I got to meet, like I said, Linda Bacon, Mary Bland, Brenda Bacon. Man, it was just so many ladies that, Livia Highland, man, just so many folk. And it was like God created the world and the real world, women. So, they all would call in to the weekly and tell the individuals that they were looking for at the time that they were going to have a meeting and they were going to do this, and they you know, calling in to the editors and stuff and the people that they knew and that they had been working with. And eventually it became my time. And I welcomed them with open arms because I could see that around the city, and at that time Dallas was its own nation, yes. But around the city, it was a connection of women, you know, running it in all aspects, and so. When the editor started changing at the weekly and the people started changing, the lady whose position I assumed after she went home with her pregnancy thing, and they welcomed me in. Billy, well, since you over there, since you in there, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got, and they had me in training. To whereas I was meeting folk and going on, and I was going, I met Miss Petrie, and we went to, we did a job fair for the Urban League and the Dallas Weekly over at the fair park. Biggest job fair they ever had over there almost. We was booming. We was so successful. We had all kinds, because Urban League had all kinds of connections, and I got to meet them. You know, that was Miss Petrie and the doctor. Yeah, can't think of her name right now. Forgive me, but she's retired. So and it was stuff like that. And so the word started moving around that the Dallas Weekly was in power. The Dallas Weekly was it. So wow, business started coming in. And. And the folk would say, well, you know, y'all got the best classified newspaper, black newspaper in the city. And then they realized it was actually one of the best classifieds in the country. So we started getting awards. Well, I couldn't leave with stuff like that. You know, my chest was stuck out. You know, my name was on a plaque. Billy Parnell, classified manager, best classifiers in the country, and stuff like that. You know, I can't leave yet. And then I met this guy that really set me down and gave me a story. He really got my attention because he said, "Well, Billy, you know, the world is changing." So I've been with Blue Cross Blue Shield for ages. I don't remember the exact time that he put on it, but it was a long time. And his name was Ed Toogood. Well, Mr. Ed Toogood introduced me to reality, to some folk. He said, "Billy," yes, he was white. I don't like that word, Caucasian, but, you know, he was white, and he admonished me for even telling him that I was going to be leaving the weekly when he said we had so much to do. We got a lot of changes to make. I said, "I'm going to make them at Blue Cross Blue Shield. By hook or by crook." And I'm saying to myself, "What you talking about, Mr. Toogood? We can't do that by ourselves." You know, I'm saying that to myself. "Or you don't tell nobody like Mr. Ed Toogood, we can't do this." So, anyhow, he was saying we got to do this because I've been at Blue Cross Blue Shield and we ain't made the right changes yet. We ain't did what we were supposed to do. But we're going to. And lo and behold, if you look at the changes that Blue Cross Blue Shield has made in the 20-some years I've been dealing with them, I haven't been dealing with them that long, but it's been that long almost since I have. Well, but, you know, after Ed and I think Ed left Blue Cross Blue Shield because he was retiring. He said, but he wanted to be able to walk up to down the hall and see some black faces. That's all he wanted. And I said, well, all I want to do is be the one to send the black faces over there. He said, well, let's build it, let's get on the job. So, no, I couldn't leave Ed alone without any other help like me at the weekly. So we put on our suits of armor and stuff, and we went to battle. Ed was spending money like party going, nah. You know, he was on a mission. He said he was going to get some black faces in there, and he said, Billy, the ads are working. He said, if they wasn't working, I wouldn't be doing this. This man was placing full-page ads in a paper that hadn't experienced the types of leaps of faith from any other advertiser like him in the recruiting area at that time. And then, of course, 7-Eleven walked in the door. And when 7-Eleven, that's the name of some of the new websites, walking through the door, come on through the door or something. We're coming up with that. Keep that in mind, y'all. That's a later book. That's a book of a later color. Later. But 7-Eleven come in the door. This guy come in the door with Blockbuster with him. You know, they was like two gunslingers. 7-Eleven and Blockbuster Video come through the door, and a young sister with Blockbuster Video at the time, her name was Miss Bland. She was my new contact at Blockbuster Video. I mean, those two accounts could have taken any other salesperson to the World's Fair. But it wasn't enough, because what we were trying to do was influence the validity of teammates. And it happened with Blockbuster Video, 7-Eleven. We started putting our papers into 7-Eleven. We put, papers was hot back then. Papers was real hot, because they were very newsworthy, and it's not like now when you're up against the dailies now for the most published each week and everything else. So it was things that you could do then with papers that actually social media has, you know, taken the fun out of that. So right now, with a resumption of attitude with people like me, Billy Parnell, Uncle Billy, Ask Uncle Billy, we're going to try and improve some of the relations that we have with businesses by giving them what they want and what they need. And by that, I mean we're talking about social media activities, both radio. I might be stretching it a little, but right now we're active in the radio industry, and we're also going to be kind of large in the web space and website medium. But hopefully the big lick is when we are able to get some of the streamlined online television into the mix. And we're working on that tirelessly, because there's an ability to catch the eye, but there's the main scope of keeping the eye. You know what I'm saying? We don't just want to show off. We want to show up. And so with that being said, give us a chance. Give us a chance. Because we're coming, and we're coming in groves because the industry is growing, and we're finally trying to take a hold and come out wherever you are. I think that's what the mayor was finally saying, but I don't know. I can't find out. Every time I called his office, I hate to say rejection, but I don't get a return call. And I figure it's enough people that know me at the city of Dallas or around the city of Dallas for him to say, who is that persistent young man calling me and I don't get a chance to talk to him? Well, Mayor, today I think I found your phone number. So you don't have to ask any longer. I will be calling. So with that being said, y'all, let's see what LaShawn Page got to say. Because I know she said after 20 years of me, somebody's been changed. Because you know what I'm saying? I've been out of the business for almost 20 years. You know, in and out, going back to check things out and stuff like that. But trust this, I'm not all the way back yet, but I've been teaming up with some friends. Ask Robert Petrie. Ask Miss Neely, Miss Kathy Neely, and ask some of the other folks that's been saying, Billy, what you gonna do? And I keep telling them, well, I'm gonna surprise y'all. Well, Billy, you know you don't like surprises. I said it's not for me, it's for y'all. So here it is, y'all. And I'm coming.
Yeah.
shot too fast, don't start too soon, and all of that. But, man, that caught my attention then, because I was just about to change my name. Let's get back. Let me get back in my lane now. So, you know, like I was saying, this couldn't have come at a better time. Now, when you introduce yourself to someone, you say, and you can honestly say, and I would like to get to know you. You know, that's black, white, brown, indifferent, all of that. You know what I'm saying? That's get to know your neighbors, get to know your folk down the street. You walk down the street and you don't know whether you don't know whether these folks are your new neighbors or nothing else, because you don't even know them. And then, you know, you turn around later and somebody has been broken in and you done walked by the burglar. And in your own neighborhood, you know, somebody never could understand. Everybody in the neighborhood knew me, and I knew everybody in the neighborhood. I made sure everybody knew me because I was bustling. I was persistent. And if I needed a piece of bread, I would knock on your door and tell you I needed a piece of bread. So, you know, people would say, well, that man coming in crazy. You know, knock on the door at 9 o'clock in the morning. Well, what you doing at 9 o'clock in the morning? You ain't got no job. So I'm going to knock on the door and ask you for some sugar if I drink coffee, or a piece of bread if I want some toast. So, you know, and so that was just me. But I'm glad that people feel like they got to get back into that. I've over the internet the last few days, well, actually the last couple of weeks, I've been meeting new people and strange people and making friends and influencing people, and it's real rewarding to know that, you know, people want to get to know you as much as you want to get to know them. But the stubborn part about it is, y'all, and I'm going to ask this question later on, well, I might as well ask it now. So we're going to get on down to the hard grit of it all, y'all. So let me go on. Tonight's show begins at 6 o'clock p.m. As usual, I was on time. I was here. I did what I was supposed to do. And as usual, the topic will fluctuate from what from what's relevant to the very obnoxious, you know, however you want to feel about it. And, you know, now here where the facts start setting in, y'all. Sometimes you just have to go with the flow. So call in with your thoughts and opinions. Because tonight's show going to be a doozy if I get the kind of calls I'm expecting. And I got one call already in, so I might get some of these answers started. But this, check this out. We eat together, go to a restaurant close to downtown. You see whites, blacks, everybody eating together. We work together, go to our business. You see that they are diverse now and everything like that. And we sometimes sleep together, y'all. It's really not no secret. I don't know what I'm whispering for. But, well, why is it then that we can't talk about the real thing that separate us? You know what I'm talking about? Oh, okay, now, see, that's the cheesy part. That's the part where I say, I don't want no cheese on my nachos. You know, I don't need to hear that today, you know, right now. You know, when you get to asking somebody, how do you really feel about black? How you really feel about white? Y'all ain't never did that. So, but sooner or later, if you young, you're going to meet somebody white want to be in your faith. But you're going to have all kinds of skepticism and self-taught reasons, or some not self-taught, some from your family, some from your racist black families that don't really understand what's really going on in the world because they've been sheltered in so long. They wasn't told the truth. They wasn't told facts and stuff like that. And then that's another question, though.
how many of our facts have been burned up and destroyed so that we wouldn't even know about them? You see what I'm saying? The history of destroying people was the people that wanted all of the money and all of the freedom to themselves. Yes, America was free, but it was free to a select few. And that was the rich, and like they're trying to do right now, which don't make no sense. Because you can make the money, but you can't keep the money if people don't buy your products and stuff. And see, it's going to be a lot of that talk, been a lot of that talk. Nobody really know how to get it set up right and whatever, I don't guess, because I ain't really heard about none being successful right now, except the one that's been going on for about 500 years, blacks on blacks, boycotting their own businesses and boycotting each other for lack of better information, for the ice, white man's ice is always colder and all of that stuff there, you know. So, you know, I just don't know. But since this here is called the Ask Uncle Billy Show, I'd like to hear from you all tonight. So call in with your thoughts and opinions on how come you all are afraid to ask your friends. Yeah, you're supposed to be friends now. Y'all been together for 12 years now, working side by side, having fun sometimes in the evening. You know, you go over his house, they go over your house, but you still ain't asked them, how do you really feel about white folks? How you really feel about black folks? You know what I'm saying? So somebody got to start, because we got a president finna leave office. I'm praying he didn't never, he wasn't able to get to it because they was working him overtime all the time. You know what I'm saying? They had him going through, it was like he was on the Olympic team, you know, going through all of the workouts. He had to work out for everybody, and that's the way America wanted him to be, in a sense. The world president, you know what I'm saying? But then the upper echelon, the folk with the money, the one percenters, you know, us other 99% ain't got no power here, no how, unless we all come together and become of a like accord. But, you know, going out there in them streets yelling by yourself, you ain't gonna make no changes. You got to get with somebody else that's pretty close to what you're thinking about having and doing. Because, you know, y'all still so selfish. Y'all ain't going to help nobody else out to win their war so that you can win your war, because you don't want to wait. And that's pitiful. You know, you can win all of them if you just get together and knock them down one at a time. If you have to boycott one company a day, it would help to get started where you could start to do it one company a week. Sometimes if you get on one of the big, large companies for a week or a month or anything, hey, changes, you're going to see changes automatic. Because they'll begin telling their friends, I ain't going to keep doing this, and I'm the only one losing money here, and stuff like that. You see what I'm saying? So what you got to do is get on a card with your people, and that's everybody, y'all. See, this universe wasn't created unequal. And if you keep trying to make like it's just you and the blacks, see that? See that? See how I can separate it? you're going to continue to fail. But if you get together, yeah, it's a lot of stupid people on both sides. That ain't got nothing to do with you. Right has might. And if you get into the fight with right on your side, trust me, right will come out on top. But if you get in there, you got ulterior motive, I'm just going to fight for a little while, and then I'm going to go rest, and I'm going to go there. You got to fight to the end. You can't fight at your on your time zone, and that's it. You got to fight to win. So let's stop some of this foolish activity and start getting back into the winning activity, because it's been done before. And what we do, we keep going back to our losing activities and trying to find a pattern. That's not the way to win, people.
you go back to winning situations. Don't keep trying to reinvent the wheel. What man won with nonviolence, regardless of what he had to go through? He went to jail and everything else. But Dr. Martin Luther King won with nonviolence. Gandhi in India won with nonviolence, y'all. See, and y'all keep trying to say what Martin Luther King, well, he wasn't no righteous man. No, what that got to do with this? I mean, where are you going to say he wasn't righteous? See, that's what I'm talking about. See, I met his son, so I know what he was doing and what he was doing it for. Because his son talked about it. He talked just like his father. He tried to have right on his side. And that's what it's all about, people. Being right. Not being what somebody else thought somebody else might consider something wrong. Because it's not in their favor. It's going to be wrong to them. It can be 99.5% right and 0.5% wrong. If it ain't in their favor, it's wrong. Y'all don't understand that because you think it with your selfish mind. If you think with your logical pattern and your logical thinking brain, you'll understand that right is right. And I'm always right, so take that to the bank. I'm going to try this one, y'all, because you know, I think y'all will like it. I guess she got tired of waiting, but that was her song there to her key to come in. But you know, you win some, you lose some. Some get called on account of rain. But with that all being said, you know, it kind of goes. I'm coming, y'all. I better put another song back on here then. Ain't that right? Well, let me see what I can do that you all haven't heard in a minute. Let me see where I can start. And y'all can finish, because I'm going to go this way, y'all. I'm going to go this way here. I know y'all love this.
There was a family on their way down south. They had gone as far as they could go, and they made their way, and they were driving on a dirt road. Storm came. The lightning started flashing. The young man that was driving the car lost control of the automobile. Ran off the road, and everybody was all right except him. They got out of the car, and just across the dirt road was a white house. They took him across there to that white house and knocked on the door, and a white lady came to the door and said, "Can I help you?" They said, "Ma'am, if you just let us, our brother just got in an accident. We want to just come in and make a telephone call. We want to call the doctor." They walked in, and daughter got on the phone, and the phone kept ringing, and there was no answer. Finally, somebody picked up the phone and said, "I'm sorry, but the doctor's not here. He's out on his round." Somebody said, "Yes, here." Well, the daughter put that phone down and went back into the living room. And the little children, they were sitting there crying. They were all sitting there crying. And by that time, Grandmama had got out of the car. She made her way across that dirt road, and she walked up to it and just opened up the screen door. And she peeped in and she said, "How's my son doing?" And they told her, said, "Mama, we tried to call the doctor, but he was out on his rounds." She said, "Child, let me come in." She walked in and she looked at that white lady. She said, "Ma'am, do you have a closet?" She said, "Ma'am, do you have a closet?" The white lady looked down and said, "If you want to use the phone, you can use the phone." She said, "No, ma'am, I don't want to use the phone, but I want to call my doctor, and I need to go to the car." Wait a minute. She made her way to that closet, and there was just enough room for her to get in there. She walked in that closet. The children were walking behind her. She walked in that closet, and she closed the door, and before she talked to the Lord, she said this. If you know he's a doctor, let me hear you say yes. Well, grandmother came out that closet, and she made her way back to the living room. And everybody was just singing and praying to the Lord. The children had gotten happy. The white lady had got happy. And while they were praying to the Lord, there come a knock on the door. There was a knock on the door. They were just praying to the Lord. Daughter ran to the door and said, "Who is it?" The man that was standing at the door said, "Listen, little girl, I'm the doctor. If you don't mind, I was just in these parts, and I needed a place to turn into. Would you mind if I come in?" He walked in that room. She just raised her voice and said this.
"There is God for me." I said, "God in blue. Oh, I need a kiss, my daughter. And he cried out of my strength. Uh-huh. He healed me all my mouth in my room."
Let me hear you. Let me hear you say yes. Let me hear you say yes. If you're going to be a doctor, say yes. If you don't mind, help us sing one chord. Hey, there's joy. Come on, say it. Come on, everybody, say it.
Take a little break for heaven's sake, and time out for 2 minutes. So hang on in there. Thank you very much. Well, y'all can't hang out that long by yourself, so let me... Let me find y'all something to do. Y'all gonna like this. My son used to sing this. He's 15 now. He'd get up on Sunday morning and sing it by himself.
Can be changed and made whole. He can bring everlasting. just like that old man. Born in the country, raised on a farm, no money, no fancy clothes, no fine homes and cars. But thank God, Mama and Daddy raised me up on the real deal, and that's God Almighty. And sometimes when I sing about Jesus and people won't listen, I feel like I'm just a nobody.
Well, I'm pretty sure y'all enjoyed that one, because that one brought back old memories. Yeah, my son was 6 years old when he used to get up on Sunday mornings and sing that one. Well, he tried to sing it on school mornings too, but I tell him, don't go to school, boy. So, but that's what it's all about, you know, trying to bring their consciousness up with them, you know. Reality, if you start teaching it to them early enough, it don't have to set in late in the game, y'all. That's all I'm saying. It's because we hold back too many facts and factors that got them in the position that they are, to whereas it makes it doubly hard for them to change some of the thought patterns and processes that they're already working with. I know y'all don't understand it, but you know, you would. the progress that we make at and during the time of our youth is basically upon ourselves, because our parents were restricted in so many different ways in the fears that they had. Sometimes got embedded in a few of us unknowingly, you know, by telling us certain things and raising us with certain restrictions and certain rights. I mean, restrictions that were virtually out of sight wrong, you know. But because of their fear of the unknown or what might could happen, they didn't want us to experience some of the things that they experienced because of that. And, you know, sometimes it was just old folk ways, you know. Sometimes it was just that it had been embedded in them so far, so badly, and whatever else, by not having nothing else to get comfortable with, you know, that was just a fact of life. But now, you know, we understand that sometimes you got to let go and let God. You got to let them kids go and grow in their own image of God. Because their image of God and your image of God is two different things. Totally different. So, you know, once you come to that fact and begin to utilize that new resource and start doing some different things about it, you too will learn that, hey, sometimes it's all right to stand up. A lot of the times it's the right thing to do to stand up. You know, sometimes you just have to, you know, like when you go to the swimming pool and you get in that cooling water. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all trying real hard, but you got to keep up. Because if you drop off, you lose too much ground. You won't be able to catch back up. know what I'm saying? So just bear with us sometime, and you'll understand that we just want what's right. And sooner or later, we'll get there if you just let it be. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all been there.
Cool.
set you up for a failure because you can't go. You're not gonna find too much better. You know what I'm saying? You can find something comparable. Just makes you wonder sometimes. But with all of that being said, I got one more song for you all, and then I'm gonna call it an evening because you know, sooner or later, you got to understand that if I stayed out here all night, I would not be able to please all of y'all. So right after this one, I'm going to tell y'all good night, no matter what, because I just think you deserve this.
Thank you.
To whoop the queen for this 15 because I'm out of here, y'all. You know, it's my bedtime. It's my dinner time. It's my everything time. So, y'all have a great evening. I really thank y'all for being here. Well, you know it was fun. But I hope that you all got some information out of all of the facts and figures that I portrayed this evening because it's there for the taking. What we're doing, we're on the right track. We just got to keep it up and hold your head up high because we're going to get there. Y'all have a great evening. Really enjoyed you. Keep listening. And with the queen for that 15, go, it's domino time. Holla.